Well, let's talk about the Chautauqua Symphony. If you can, share a little bit of the history of this accomplished part of the Chautauqua Institution.
Well, something that people may not know is that back in the 1920s, the institution at that time imported an orchestra from New York called the New York Symphony. Now, this was primarily at that time, there was a great relationship with the Juilliard School. Back in the 20s, there were not many festivals, so we were a place for the outlet for the Juilliard faculty during the summer. And Albert Stessel, who was then a head of orchestral studies at the Juilliard School, was a Chautauquan and came to Chautauqua, and he brought the New York Symphony up here. And in about beginning in 1926 and 27, the New York Symphony merged with another orchestra in New York City and became the New York Philharmonic. So in 1928, that was the last year that the New York Symphony came to Chautauqua. But with their merging, they decided they would stay in New York, they would do something different. And so Arthur Bester, who was president of that day, said to Albert Stessel, "Let's form an orchestra for Chautauqua." So in 1929, they had the premiere of the Chautauqua Symphony Orchestra here under the leadership of Albert Stessel. And many of them were still members of the Juilliard School that came from New York, but they started branching out and bringing other people in from other orchestras. So since 1929, the Chautauqua Symphony Orchestra has been in residence at Chautauqua. First of all, it was for for 6 weeks, then 7 weeks, then finally for many years now, it's been full 8 weeks of the season. Our season is 9 weeks. They're here for 8 weeks, and they do 21 concerts. We do not repeat any concerts. And so they've had a very illustrious history over the years people coming from. We have people that have been retired out of the Met, the National Symphony, Cincinnati, St. Louis, Houston, Dallas, Seattle, Phoenix, Fort Worth. Just trying to think of the various orchestras, ABT in New York, people that come here for the summer. And the symphony is a union tenured orchestra, just like an orchestra, just like the Buffalo Philharmonic. It is union tenured. They do the same processes as of auditions, that kind of thing. But it only exists for 8 weeks. And these people come from all over the United States. And we have a couple of citizens who are in foreign countries, one from Spain, one from Sweden, and they come back to the United States and perform in the orchestra. We have three people that come from Trinidad, actually, that are in the orchestra. So they come from all over the country. They come together, and they get two rehearsals before the first concert, and they gel. And it is really amazing because it really is a musical family. And because it's tenured, and many of them have been playing for 30 years in this orchestra, and we keep adding new people as people retire. And they really gel very fast, and they all read very well. They have played much of the classical standard repertoire they have played all of their lives. So they come together and really fuse very rapidly into a very tight musical unit. And it's impressive, from the first rehearsal to the second rehearsal to the first performance in the amphitheater is a stunning journey. In that, it's just you hear the first notes. Oh, that's great. You look at the second rehearsal, and the evening of that performance, you think, wow, this is a fully formed group who has just gotten together after being apart for almost 9 months.
Now, I don't know how it works. I mean, are these members just members of the Chautauqua Symphony, or are there some members who might spend their time from September through June with the Buffalo Philharmonic?
Oh, yes. Most of the people in the orchestra all have other jobs of some kind.
Okay.
Many are on orchestras, and some of those orchestras I mentioned, they're members of that orchestra.
I thought they were retired members.
No. We have some retired people from the Met.
Yeah.
Who've been in the Met and retired but are still in the Chautauqua Symphony Orchestra. But they're all, most of them are members of in good standing in orchestras around the country, and they have managed through the years to have their summers free, so they spend it at Chautauqua. And then we do have a few freelancers that come from the New York area that come up here, and when the New York season winds down, they come up to Chautauqua.
What are some of the highlights of this summer season?
For the symphony season? Okay, that is like asking which of your children do you like the best. I think there are just so many highlights. We are in between music directors at this point in time, and the orchestra has and the administration have elected to have about 3 years' worth of guest conductors coming in before we actually start the official search. So last year we had, I think, 15 guest conductors. This year we will again have 15 guest conductors that come through and work with the orchestra. And I gather all that information from members of the orchestra who make suggestions about conductors they'd like to see. And I invite them and we work out the soloists. So we have the season opens on June 30th with Peter Serkin playing Brahms 1 Piano Concerto. I think it's a wonderful thing to be able to have Peter Serkin with us. That was I think it's a rare treat for us. He's not been here before, and I'm thrilled that he'll be at Chautauqua. The other highlights, I think it's hard to pick. We have some really wonderful conductors. Some of the old guard conductors, like Christopher Seaman, who was with Rochester for many years, is back with us for his second time. We have Andrew Litton coming, and for two concerts, Michael Stern, who is music director of Kansas City, will be with us. There's a whole range of conductors. One of the things I'm most proud of is we have three competition winners coming to Chautauqua this summer. Clara Jumi Kang was the winner of the Indianapolis International Violin Competition, and she will be with us on the 5th of July. She's going to play the Korngold Violin Concerto, and she's with Timothy Myers, a wonderful young conductor. And then on the 12th of July, Alexander Schimpf is going to be here, and he was the winner in 2011 of the Cleveland International Piano Competition. And then we end the season on August 21st with the winner of the Arthur Rubinstein Foundation competition, and who then went on within weeks to win the Tchaikovsky Gold Medal. And he's 20 years old. His name is Daniil Trifonov. He's Russian. He is from Moscow. He has been studying in the United States in the Chicago area. But he will be with us to close our season doing Chopin. And we have these three really wonderful young musicians who are winning competitions and really starting out in the world. And it's a great way for us to give them an opportunity for Chautauquans to hear them, because I love nothing more than people to come back and say, oh, I saw such and such as they become more famous and they travel around, and I remember that I saw them at Chautauqua first. And that's a great joy. And also, in that same regard, Alexander Gravilia is coming back to us now for his seventh time. He won the Arthur Rubinstein years ago, and that's when we first heard of him and brought him to Chautauqua. And he's become a Chautauquan, and he will be back this year with his lovely wife and their new daughter. And he'll be playing two concerti with us, the Rachmaninoff first and the Rachmaninoff second piano concerto on two nights. And we have everything. One of the interesting concerts that I think is on July 24th, Sarah Ioannidis, guest conductor, will be here, and we're doing a concert with two Piazzolla pieces for orchestra, for string orchestra and bandoneon, and which I think will be wonderful and very different. Many people have not heard a bandoneon with a symphony orchestra, so that'll be a really interesting evening and some very fun and very beautiful Piazzolla music.
What caught my eye, and basically because she went to school with my successor as news director at WBFO, Eileen Buckley, soprano Michelle Ragusa.
Yes,
will be performing
a Buffalo Girl.
Yeah,
yes,
Pops.
On July 3rd, around the 3rd or 4th of July, we always do a Pops concert with the orchestra. And Stuart Chaffetz, who is our principal timpanist, who is now becoming quite the conductor around the country. We always invite him to do that concert. And this year he asked if he could invite Michelle Ragusa to join him for his Pops concert. So she will be here to do some vocal selections. And that's always a really fun evening in the amp, because we do our famous 1812 Brown Bag overture, where the audience each member of the audience is given three brown paper lunch bags, like the old style where you used to take your lunch in to school.
Yeah.
You each get three, and he divides the audience up. And then when the cannons fire in the score, he cues the different sections of the audience. They blow up their bags, and they pop the bags. Well, when you've got 5,000 people popping a brown paper bag, all at this, usually at the same time, it sounds like these cannons, and it's just a hoot. And now we have found out that many orchestras have picked this up and are doing it because, it's first of all, it's fun for the audience. It really gets them involved. It's a lot cheaper than hiring the cannons. And at Chautauqua, as you can imagine, with everybody being so close to the amphitheater, and so it makes it much easier for us. But it's very funny because just the rustling of those paper bags, it sounds like rain inside that building with 5,000 people rustling those bags, and then they all pop them. And we often have some premature popping with the bags just as jokes, but it's an amazing experience, and it's a lot of fun. The audience loves it, and they really look forward to that every Independence Day.
Also, I read that there'll be a live taping of the NPR program, the classical music program, From the Top.
Yes, that's on the 20th of July on a Friday night. It's been a long time getting From the Top here, but we decided that this would be the good year to do that. So Christopher O'Reilly will be here, and they will tape this program and make a live taping of the program, and then it will be broadcast sometime in October. And they will bring their usual wonderful array of young artists. And in fact, two of the performers will be here at Chautauqua in the School of Music studying this summer. So we'll have two of our own with the other young artists that are here. And this is going to be, it's always obviously a challenge to put on a live broadcast or a taping of this kind in the amphitheater because we have so little time to prepare. But we've worked out a wonderful schedule, and I'm really excited to see Christopher O'Reilly again and to hear the young artists that they've invited to join them here at Chautauqua. So that should be great fun.
And WNED-FM, the classical music station, our broadcasters in Buffalo, they take some of the concerts and distribute them nationally?
Right. Four concerts each summer are live broadcast live to by WNED. The June 30th, the opening concert, as I mentioned earlier, with Peter Serkin, is live broadcast. And then the 21st of July, which is our Brahms Requiem with the Buffalo Philharmonic Chorus, will be here, and Robert Dürer, who conducted their spring program with the Buffalo Philharmonic in Buffalo at Kleinhans, he's joining us, and so we'll be doing the Brahms Requiem here. And then on the 28th is Public Radio Day, where WNED in Buffalo and WQED in Pittsburgh broadcast that concert live to both cities, and that will be Christopher Seaman will be with Alexander Gavilyuk, and he'll be doing the Rachmaninoff Second Piano Concerto. And then the next one is on the 18th of August. We're doing a world premiere of a violin fantasy by Michael Collina, and this has not been performed live. It's been recorded by the London Symphony Orchestra, but it's not been played live yet. So we're doing the live premiere of that on that Saturday night. And Ira Levin, who is a U.S. conductor who has made his major career in Europe, will be coming to the United States to conduct the work. And he conducted it with the London Symphony in the recording. And we have a lovely young Russian violinist who will be here and performing it that evening. And then we'll also do Shostakovich 5 on that evening. So we have our four live broadcasts that can be heard on WNED.
Describe the amphitheater as a performance venue.
Well, it is the Chautauqua Amphitheater was built in 1893. It was built before microphones, before electricity, before any of that. And so that it was designed with relatively excellent acoustics. And over the years, it has been modified in some ways. The Massey Memorial Organ was installed in 1907, which is the largest outdoor pipe organ in the world, sits back there. And the backstage has been modified, but the size of the stage has been modified. But it essentially remains much as it was in 1893. So it does not have all of the wonderful modern conveniences that most theaters and performing arts centers have these days. We do not have a fly. You can't fly stuff in and out. We don't have a high tower for stage scenery and that kind of thing. So everything has to be put down and or taken up and put down manually. When we do screens for PowerPoint and that thing in the morning, the lectures, those have to be brought. Someone has to go into the attic, help raise them up. They have to be lowered to the stage, taken off and removed manually from the stage. So it requires a lot of extra time to change over the building. And in fact, we do three major events in that building every day. 9:15 in the morning, there's an ecumenical devotional service. 10:45 is the lecture platform, which has the major lecturers that come from around the world to share their knowledge and expertise with Chautauquans. We finish the lecture, and then we have the afternoon rehearsal, whether it be for the move-in for Diana Krall, or whether it's a symphony rehearsal for their dress for the evening performance. Whatever it is, we move in the afternoon, and then that evening we have the major event. It is a very hectic and crazy place in the summer because there is so much happening. We employ 14-year-olds who can legally work at age 14 as long as they don't handle anything more dangerous than a broom and a dustpan. And at 7:30 every morning, they all descend on the amphitheater and they sweep the amphitheater and clean it up from the previous day. And then the crew set up, and it's just one thing after another all day long until the evening performance is over. And then oftentimes at night, they have to set up and do lighting work to prepare for the next evening's performance. So it's a very hectic, crazy place. It's large.
But acoustically,
it's a wonderful space. I mean, it was designed for people to speak without a microphone. When people were taught oratory, when you learned how to project your voice into a large space and to be heard. And over the years, of course, that has changed, and we no longer teach oratory and how to project the voice pretty much, except for singers. They learn how to do that, and actors. But the general public doesn't. And so, you know, the advent of microphones and all that, we've adjusted for all of that. But it is as an outdoor space with three missing walls. The back wall is where the organ chamber is and the back of the stage area. But the rest of it's wide open, so one can sit at night or in the daytime, and you will hear ambient noise, whether it's a dog barking or the cicadas in the trees making their crackling noise, or, you know, squeaky baby strollers baby strollers with squeaky wheels, or we keep WD-40 handy to squirt the wheels when they go around, or crying babies or that sort of thing. So it's a total experience, but there is nothing quite like on a beautiful evening sitting in the amphitheater, feeling the nice soft summer breeze and listening to something glorious played by the orchestra or the performance by the opera company, or seeing the ballet dancers fling themselves, defying gravity through the air on that stage. That building is used and has had over its more than 100 years. It has seen and experienced it's just amazing, the lists of people that have been on that to lecture or preach or perform on that stage, and the orchestras and all the things that have been played, the opera, the plays, everything that have taken place in the amphitheater. It is really our heart of Chautauqua is the amphitheater. It is the heart in the body of Chautauqua, and it's the place we gather. It's the place we celebrate our traditions. It's where we celebrate the arts. It is the place we celebrate lifelong learning. It's a place, it's a sacred space where church services are held on Sundays and the devotional services on weekday mornings. So it is something for everyone, and it means something to everyone.